Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go with a different opening song today.
Just to love you again.
You know what? Blog Talk Radio is really starting to make me mad, for real. They freeze up. Had my two guests in the chat room, but because of the fact that I couldn't get back to it. If there's one thing that causes me to lose patience is when people cannot get their act together, and then when we call them to tell them something is going on, it takes them 24 to 48 hours to get back to us. And that's, or email takes 2 to 3 days. So I apologize for the technical difficulties. Now I'm just waiting for Mia to call in. Hopefully, you know, she'll be able to call in because she's supposed to be my co-host. But the fact that something is messing up. See, guys, hey, Antoinette, welcome to the show. It just irritates me. It really does. But I'm going to calm down. I don't know what happened to Mia, but let me give her a call.
Hello?
Hello. We are good to go. And I am so sick of Blog Talk in there freezing up and all this stuff. I could, anyway. So how are you today, Mia?
I'm okay. How are you, Thomas?
I am, as you can tell, I am very irritated because one thing about it, if I do something wrong and I mess up on something and someone points that out to me, I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine. Let me do it the way it's supposed to be done. But when I go and read the instruction manuals or I watch the tutorials and then I share the information the way that they said it's supposed to be shared and how it's supposed to be done and things still doesn't work, that irritates me.
No, nobody's, don't even worry about it.
Nobody's perfect, I understand that, but this has been going on with, and it's not just been my show, Willie's show, Lee's show, several other shows that, you know, Lee and Sarge actually had to change the name of their show because they got hacked and they got shut down by Blog Talk Radio because of the lies of a liberal. But, you know, and stuff like that. I've had people since I've been on that they hacked, they tried to hack my show, but thank God that he was watching out, because I was able to notice strange things going on. But having said that,
I don't even see the show for today on here. So
yeah,
weird.
It is. It's very weird. Hey, Mary, and our guest just left, so anyway, welcome to the show. I thought that as I was walking back from the store getting some Gatorade or whatever that stuff's called, Hydra, I was thinking about something that you had said to me earlier. And it just made so much sense. And, you know, honestly, I just wanted to really, 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 really reflect on why we do what we do. Because a lot of times we could throw out the old cliche, Mary says, hey to you, Mia.
Hey, Mary. Trying to get in the chat room.
We throw out the old cliche, I do it because it's the God in me and all that, you know. Just leave when you have to, Mary. We appreciate you making an appearance and show of support. Thanks. Thank you so much. But the reason what I wanted us to reflect on is basically share why we do what we do. You know, for me, honestly, I just got tired of, you know, walking through our neighborhoods, the Black community, and just seeing so much hopelessness, despair. And then also I got sick and tired of being lumped in the category, even people in our own community saying, well, we can't get ahead because the white man is keeping us down, and, you know, and this, that, and the other. And it's just, it just hurt my heart, because one thing that I grew up here, and I'm sure you did too, Mia, is people telling us what we can't do because of this. You can't do this because of this. And what does the Word of God say? Doesn't the Word of God say that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us? Is that what it says, or was I seeing things?
Well, the thing is, it depends on who you ask, because not everybody follows the Word of God. But yeah, it does say that, you know. But at the same time, you know what your standards and your principles and what your value is.
Right.
And everybody's not on that level, Thomas, unfortunately. We wish they could be, but everybody's not going to make it into heaven. Everybody doesn't believe in God.
Right.
Everybody doesn't believe in hell.
Right.
It's just that you and I were the fortunate ones, along with many others, to be able to establish our relationship with God and to embrace and follow his word. But even many Christians today, they would rather live and have a world view,
right,
instead of a kingdom and godly and biblical view. And that is why the church is so separated and divided, because somebody's always somewhere trying to straddle the fence and live and serve two gods.
Right.
But we can't.
Right. Absolutely. And the thing of it is, you bring up a good point with that, because some of the people saying this to me, some of them were people who were in careers like teachers and stuff like that. So as they saying these things to me, I'm like, okay, so I'm thinking to myself, how did you get where you were if you were being held back? And I mean, some of these people saying these things are individuals who are in a position of influence. It would be some, it would be a whole nother story if it was someone down and out, going through a foreclosure and feeling like they're being manhandled. And even then, those individuals, they have to go back and look at the situation. How did they have to ask the ask themselves the question, what happened that we got in this position? Was it because, okay, husband and wife, two income households, so they were, they had income coming in and they could afford the mortgage. Boom, husband gets laid off and income drastically reduced. So they lose their house because of that. That's one situation. Those are the individuals that should be helped. Honestly, I don't think it's fair to bail out individuals who bought more house, knowing good and well when they bought those subprime mortgages, got those subprime mortgages, knowing good and well they could not afford those mortgages, but they did it anyway. Oh man, they giving us this deal? And then when their mortgages ballooned, because they didn't read the fine print, and suddenly they couldn't afford the payments, their house foreclosed. Why is it fair that taxpayers bail out those individuals when they were the ones who irresponsibly walked into a situation knowing full well that they could not afford it? What do you say about that, Mia?
It's really not a taxpayer's thing. We just have all these laws and legislation and these people who are supposed to be for the taxpayers. In reality, we've been bamboozled. And it's just unfortunate when you look at what's been happening, even with the housing market, when it crashed, it takes accountability and also ownership. Until we have that, we're going to continue to have the issues that we have. It's just that simple. So it's not really us. Nobody's talking to the regular everyday house mom or dad who gets up and works for his family. Nobody's talking to them. They're getting their information from these sources that are really not the majority.
Right.
So that's where the real problem lies. They need to get out and talk to some real people that have real problems and get their feedback on it. Until that happens, then we're going to continue to have the problems that we have, because nobody wants to listen to the everyday American who
right.
has a family. It's the middle class family. The majority of Americans are middle class. They don't have a lot of rich people.
Right. That's a good point. And it's kind of funny. I don't know who coined the phrase flyover territory, but they look at middle America, those of us who aren't on the East Coast or the West Coast, they look down on us because we're the Midwest or something like that. And I'm talking about the politicians. I'm not talking like the people that live on the East Coast. I'm talking the elite politicians. And so they think that we're not smart enough to make decisions for ourselves, that we need them to make the decisions for us. Last time I looked, the government works for us. We don't work for the government. But yet and still, we are punished by their regulations, these environmental terrorists. Yeah, and that's who I'm going to call terrorists, in the environmental groups who has such a stranglehold on our country. Oh, let's protect the pretty tree because, oh, the tree is so sacred. People, get over yourself. I don't care if you don't believe in God or not, but if that tree can create a job by it being turned into paper and other lumber, so be it. We have so many job opportunities, but they're pursuing things that are not working. Green jobs. How's that working for us, Mia?
Nobody wants to hear what I have to say. So the people who want to, I don't know, it's just so much right now that we're dealing with. I don't even know where to start. It's just one thing after another, from trying to save the trees to killing babies versus, you know, the majority of people travel, so they need big cars. They need their SUVs and their sedans. Nobody wants to get those little compact cars anymore. Remember when cars were used to be big? Cars have always been big. Those
right.
big Cadillacs. People want room and space, and I don't know what liberals are doing anymore. I don't debate with them. I just don't do it because there's no getting through, because they go to their liberal views and they're stuck on that.
Right, right. And essentially it's an attitude that we know what's best for you, so shut up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the thing of it is, though, here's the thing. And, you know, there's, you know, in Agenda 21, you have the whole zero population growth, and you know, part of their plan is to reduce population, herd them all into these urban hubs and stuff like that. Are they really that stupid? First of all, here's the thing. Let's talk about carbon dioxide for a minute. Because, see, environmentalists think they're so smart. But here's the thing. Sometimes they're so smart, they're stupid. And here's why I say that. Do you know what would happen if we reduce the amount of carbon dioxide in the air? Like, environmentalist wants us to do. You know what would happen?
Only Lord knows what would happen. Unfortunately, it probably wouldn't be a good thing.
I'll tell you exactly what would happen, because I know. It's really simple. Every plant on Earth would die. Why is that, you might ask? Well, I'll tell you. Because plants breathe carbon dioxide and they give off oxygen. Hello? But guess what waste that gets expelled from the human body? Guess what waste that is? Carbon dioxide. So it's kind of that give or take. So if you reduce the population of humans and you also reduce the carbon dioxide in the air, you're going to kill your plants and your trees. But you can't tell anybody that because, oh, they know everything, and we're just little dumb Americans. I actually did pay attention in biology when they taught on photosynthesis and how that whole process works. So I didn't ever think that I'd use it in a conversation. That was years ago, and I hated science, but you know, it's always good to remember those things. But at the same time, you know, You know, I just want to help be a solution to one little problem. I don't care what it is, because I'm tired of seeing our community suffer.
But it takes a community to communicate and to get it together. And to be honest, I don't see enough Black Americans involved in the cause. I went to a political event, and unfortunately, there wasn't many of us. You know, the majority of us, you know, we vote and we go home.
Right.
We don't, and I'm not saying all. I said the majority of us, you know, don't get involved.
Right.
And we've got to get involved. We've got to be voices. You know,
right.
I had an associate of mine complaining about her community that they didn't have a pool and they didn't have this and that. And then she comes to where I live in our community and we have more stuff for the kids to do. I said, how many committees are you on? How many meetings have you gone to? What have you done to make a difference and to be a voice?
Right.
You know?
And what'd she say?
She couldn't say anything. She's basically, she's like, you're right. But it doesn't.
And see,
it doesn't do any good.
And that's just the thing. If we start speaking out as a Black community, a unified voice, the liberals will back down. The Congressional Black Caucus will back down. They have no... Yeah, they will, because if people in the community get ticked off enough with the lies, I mean...
The results I have seen is they act more undignified and get more crazy.
You talking about the CBC or our community?
I'm just talking about all liberals.
Oh, well, that's a good point. That's a good point.
They're just not very receptive to common sense and logic.
And the thing of it is, we have been verbally beat down in our community by liberals so much that the vast majority of our community is afraid to engage, worried about what people will say, what people will think. You know what? Last time I looked, it's not other people who controls the outcome of your life. It's you yourself. So we have to stop using other people as an excuse for why we do things the way we do them. We have to, because enough is enough. I mean, enough is enough. We were once a proud people, but now we're a proud people. And I don't mean proud in the word, the positive sense of the word. I mean pride as in, you can't tell me nothing, and I know what I need to know, and I'm doing this my way. And that is not a good attitude. You look at, when you have do not snitch rallies in the inner city neighborhoods because people Mia?
I'm just listening.
Okay. Somebody just sent me a message. When you have do not snitch what do you call those things? Do not snitch how do you say it? What are those called?
Snitchers?
No, where they want to not tell the cops or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I don't associate with people like that, so I wouldn't know. I really wouldn't know that.
Well, the thing of it is, when you need, when one of our children in our community is murdered, and you know who did it, but yet you don't tell because you don't like the cops or whatever. You have a distrust.
Oh, you
for
mean
the cops.
A coward? You mean a coward?
No, it's the, you know, the code, you know, don't snitch in a neighborhood or something like that because you get ostracized or whatever they call it. The do not snitch rallies. Anyway, whatever they call it. What it boils down to is this. If you see a child that's murdered and you know who did it, you better report that. You have an obligation to do it. And not, oh man, it's, oh, that's a frustrating source of, that's a frustrating source for me. So what do you think about the lawsuit filed today? Tell me about your thoughts on that.
Well, we talked briefly about that. I think everything needs to be exposed. Everything needs to be brought to light. And if people are willing to ignore it, then, hey, that's their choice.
Right.
But until we can get to the bottom of all the past stuff, and we do, as a culture and as a nation, I think it's important for people to apologize for past deeds, for everything done. You know, and it doesn't matter if you're black, white, Indian, whatever. If someone's done you wrong, then you need to be able to go to that person and say, look, I was wrong. I was out of line. You know, and that's all that lawsuit is, just a simple apology. They don't even want any money. They don't want. They just want, hey. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
I agree with you.
Exactly, and so do I. But yet there's some, and you didn't hear about it in the mainstream media, like you said earlier. You when you posted that, you said there wasn't anything about it in the media because they don't want it. The mainstream media knows what will happen. But see, it goes back to the head buried in the sand thing. Even when it gets exposed, because it will be exposed, there will be some in our community that'll say, oh, that's just a lie and this, 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 and this. No, it's not. If it was a lie, why did the Democratic, the state Democratic leadership in North Carolina, why did they apologize then? Let me answer Antoinette. There was a class action lawsuit filed by Wayne Perryman and Francis P. Rice on behalf of black people. It was actually a class action lawsuit filed in Seattle today, and it was filed against President Barack Obama and a Democratic Party seeking an apology for their past history of racism, for the killing of black people.
Wants to know what we're talking about?
Yeah.
I would post the link for her, but I can't even log on into the chat room. Grab the link for her. You want me to put it on your
Actually, I can pull it up on Facebook and get it.
That way she can look at it.
Right. Antoinette, I'm getting that off of Facebook for you right now, my friend. Okay,
and I'm not even able to get into the chat room. I don't know why. I don't know what's going on, but something's not right.
Yeah, and if I knew how to get a hold of, let's see, where... Hmm. Did you post that on moveonup.org, right?
Don't remember. It might even be on my page.
Where did that go?
Just type it in your search engine on your Facebook. It'll come up.
And
you can put, what was the title of the article? Just put Black Sioux Democrat or something. Or type in Perry, what was his name?
Wayne Perryman.
Yeah.
Perryman. Sues.
I found it.
Okay. And what's the link?
Let me just go in. Let me get it. They got another interesting story here. Muslim group seeks to ban Sharia law. Have you seen that?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
A Muslim group seeks to ban it?
Mm-hmm.
Ha! Wow.
That's what I said.
Now, I guess God is answering prayers or something.
Tell me about it.
Wow.
I'm going to put this on your Skype link since I can't post in the chat room. So here it is. There it is. Excuse me. But there it is for all to see.
Okay. Let me, and I'm going to get that. And I'll copy and paste it. Let's see. Copy. Copy selection. Hey, Bach, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming. Here you go. Okay, got it. Click on the link, Antoinette, and that's the story right there. It'll take you right to it. Anyway, so read that story about the... do you have that story pulled up?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Read that. Read that on the air. Read that. I want to hear that.
I'm just going to read parts of it.
Okay.
Just the main parts was basically... They were saying that since Perry... This Wayne Perry, he used to be a former Democrat himself. And the reason why they chose Barack Obama, he was named as the defendant, not only because he is official leader of the Democrat Party, but because of a certain statements that he made about his own party in his book, Dreams of My Father. And in 2009, basically, he was asked to issue an apology to blacks on behalf of his party, and he didn't want to do it.
Wait.
So
he didn't? Why not?
Well, you have to look into the book. Basically, he ripped them a new one about the Jim Crow laws and other racist practices all the way from 1792 to 2011. And he wanted to know, you know, why is all this stuff taking place, and why is Barack Obama allowing all this stuff, even with, you know, the past stuff that's been done, threats are still taking place, you know, the false accusations against the Tea Party, threatening anyone who dared interfere, you know, all this nonsense and foolish, basically, about this, everything.
Right. Right.
So, it's just, I don't know. It's just really, really bad. It really is. And unfortunately, you know, people want to have to look to something, even if it's not the right thing. And that is so sad to me. They're willing to follow anything.
Right.
Instead of getting the right information about it.
Right.
You know? And people need to make sure that they have their facts together.
That's true. That is so true. I mean, I've done so much. I've done more research and reading on things in the last few months than I think I've probably done in my entire life. But I wanted to get informed on the things that's going on. I mean, one person who I so admire for his tenacity in researching. You want to hear something crazy? It's been a white man, David Barton of Wall Builders International, who has done more to bring light to the true black history than most individuals in our own community. He put down, he said, you know what, I'm going to tell the truth. He did a show on Glenn Beck, a series of shows. He told about the history of black people in the Revolutionary War. He pointed out things that were inaccuracies in paintings, things that were made where some people said, oh, they were just servants. And he pointed out in one picture of George Washington crossing the Delaware, he pointed out, he said, that man was not a servant. He was a soldier. And he brought honor and integrity to true black history. Because, yeah, we have Black History Month, but I always ask this question, and still to this day, nobody has ever given me a successful answer. Why was Black History Month put on the shortest month of the day?
To be honest, it's Black History Month is just a big old scam. It's not even real history. You know, we hide behind our real history, and that's sad. We do. If we knew our real history, we wouldn't be voting Democrats.
Exactly.
We wouldn't be doing the stuff that we do. And it's unfortunate because
exactly.
That's real. We wouldn't be doing the stuff that we're doing, following these wolves behind the pulpit.
Right.
Who actually practice the liberal agenda.
Right.
For a quick buck. And it's, hold on 1 second, Thomas.
All right.
Checking in with the family, y'all. Thank you for your patience.
Oh, that's so sweet.
But yeah, we've got to get our act together because, you know, when I look at the majority of us, you know, we have so much to be blessed about. And I don't use the word pride. You know, we come from such good roots and strong, men and women
who
sung praises in the cotton fields. Who
amen?
You
that's
know,
right. That's
we
right.
You know, we should not still be victims.
Right.
We have strong blood. We have strong, everything is strong for our heritage.
Right.
But when Black history comes, I dread it. Because, you know, you have these television shows like BET, and what are they contributing in helping for the Black community? You got gold teeth and rims and these women, they barely have any clothes on. How is that moving us forward? How is that, I mean, how are we representing God and ourselves? What more of a level of respect do we need to show each other? You know, it is what it is, and it's sometimes it's discouraging.
Right.
It really is. That
right.
You have to, you know, I don't know. It's sad. It's really sad.
Sometimes it makes you want to walk away, doesn't it? It makes
you know what?
Because I've been there. I mean, just the sheer brutality that I, wow. Antoinette just said BET is no, oh, and that's right, BET is no longer owned by the Johnson family. They sold BET, got sold. So it's no longer Black owned, which I didn't know that. But, you know.
I knew that.
I didn't know that.
I knew that, but we have BET, but for the longest, even when it was under that, I want to know, what were we doing to move forward? How are we educating our youth? We've got to educate our youth, and BET's not cutting it.
Exactly.
We need spiritual leaders, God-fearing men, not just ones who want to always pass around the offering plate, you know, and fill their pockets, and they rolling in a Mercedes, or what's the other expensive car?
Cadillacs.
Or Bentley.
Bentley.
And somebody in the congregation needs their lights on, and they don't have no food. We supposed to be looking out for the flock. The flock's supposed to be looking out for each other.
Exactly.
I don't see that anymore.
Exactly.
I see more people in the church clenching their purses.
Right.
Why are we treating each other like that?
Right.
You know?
You know, I just, all I can do, because the way I answer that, is that I just look. I just look, and I say, you know, we've lost track, and I know where the root of that started. That all started with the. Antoinette, she's clowning on BET. She said, "Don't look to TV to educate anyone. Parents have to do that," which she's right. TV is just entertainment, and bad entertainment at that. So, you hit the nail on the head. But you know, our Black churches are in the conditions that they are because of the fact that when they were first paid off by Margaret Sanger during the Negro Project, and Antoinette, if you get sometime, Google the Negro Project and research what that is, and you'll really understand the roots of the abortion issue, but. The Negro Project didn't stop just with the abortion issue. When liberals figured out that if they buy off the Black preacher, then they have that inroads into the community. And that's what happened. You can look at it in throughout all our churches. You know, they talk about it's preached from the pulpit, don't sin. And this, that, and the other. But you never hear them talk about the issues that really are affecting our community. Zero population growth, high abortion rates, high crime rates, high unemployment, high growth rates of homosexuality and AIDS due to over promiscuity. And, you know, and I could go on and on and on. Because the thing of it is, we preach against compromise, but we don't really do anything about it, because when you have the preacher, when you have the preacher who is doing dirt himself.
The word that you want to use is tolerance.
Tolerance.
There's too much tolerance. And until people call sin, sin, that's what it is. People want to sugarcoat and water down the gospel and God's word instead of realizing, look, we got a problem here. Right. You know, we got these young girls, these young boys, everybody's moving too fast. They need to start having these sessions and these classes on how to carry yourselves, how to be gentlemen, how to be young women and ladies. And that's always been my message to anybody who I know when I see them. And that's what I do.
Right.
That's why I do what I do. I have a son and a daughter. So I know I have to be a beacon and also a compass, because they watch what I do. I have to be careful what I wear, how I dress, how I carry myself. Because kids are watching. They watch what you do. They listen to what you say.
Right.
You know, and you met my kids.
Yeah. Yep, I have. And they good kids.
And we just don't have to teach our kids how to be disrespectful. You have to be a reflection. Your kids are a reflection of you.
Right. Right.
So, it doesn't take rocket science. It used to take a village. It did. All the old school ways, now, it's like they've died. You know, kids used to be able to play out. Everything is so turned around now. And it's so much more, I mean, even black-on-black crime is increasing. And just today it came out of poverty. Poverty has increased since Barack Obama has been in office. It's increasing. I mean, it's increasing. What more do people need to see or know?
Right.
I mean, it's very evident that he doesn't care about anybody but himself. And people bring up Bush still to this day. Let that go.
Exactly. You know, I was listening. Pastor C.L. Bryant was on the Willie Lawson show today. And one thing that he said that he gave a ringing endorsement for Rick Perry, because he knows Rick Perry. And one of the things that he said about it, you know, he said he compared Rick Perry's character to that of George W. Bush. And one thing that he said about George Bush, which just confirmed something that I already knew, and I still believe this. I always believe this. He said one thing about George Bush. He said that man was a man who is honest and sincere in his convictions. See, something that a lot of Americans don't realize, the stuff that was released about the things in Iraq and all that stuff, President Bush deliberately fell on the sword, because the truth of the matter is, when the information that was released that said weapons of mass destruction were not found, that was a lie. Because it actually did come out in the papers, but it quickly got covered up because I read it before they removed the information from the news media that they found 500 canisters of filled with, what was it, ricin toxin, the ricin, R-I-C-I-N, ricin, racin, however you pronounce it, but it was a 500 canisters, and it was from the 1980s. Well, I shared that with somebody who was debating me, and they said, well, that was from the 1980s. That wasn't from now. And I looked at this person, it was a liberal, obviously, and I looked at him, I said, it doesn't matter when it was from. They were supposed to be destroyed. So the fact that they still had it, they still had weapons of mass destruction. We found the traces of the anthrax and the other toxins that they had, and we also have the satellite photos of them moving trucks going to Syria. We have those photos. And see, we had a mandate the first time when they violated the UN resolution the first time. We had a mandate to go in then, but we gave them 17 chances. And oh, by the way, I got it from a very credible source, someone who lived in Iraq, whose husband's father was murdered by Saddam Hussein, and she was telling me this back in 2006 because I asked her about how she felt about the American people saying that we were only there for oil, and she point blank said the American people are stupid. And she's an American citizen now, but she said the American people are stupid if they think that the United States was just there for oil. Because she said, first of all, do you know what yellow cake is? And I said, I have no clue what yellow cake is. She said, you don't? I said, no. She said, it's uranium ore. We were in Iraq actually to keep the uranium ore from falling into the hands of terrorists. Mm-hmm. Because Iraq has the biggest iron ore deposits in the world. And it was crazy. But it's an interesting article that just got posted. In the Western world, only one newspaper reports the suicide of the woman. And tell me if you heard about this. Reports the suicide of the woman who accused George W. Bush of rape. Did you hear anything about that?
Say that again.
And this from Saturday, December 13th, 2003. In the Western world, only one newspaper reports the suicide of the woman who accused George W. Bush of rape.
Sounds like propaganda to me.
Despite the enormity of the story, a virtual news blackout has remained in place since Margie Schrodinger first filed charges against George W. Bush in 2002. Schrodinger had accused Bush of rape and other sexual crimes against both her and her husband.
Mm.
Only one publication in the USA saw fit to print anything about her or her allegations. and that publication was her local newspaper. Her subsequent suicide earlier this year raised many eyebrows amongst those who learned of her death via the internet. Even though the sequence of events was bizarre, the American media ignored Schrodinger completely. However, the U.S. press were not alone. Both the London Times newspaper and the BBC, as well as other major news organizations in the U.K., were furnished with the story and sources for the original court filings. This should have garnered some attention for the story from the big media sources, if only to ridicule the allegations. Instead, in the same way the American media served its audience a stream of controlled news, so too did the British media by pretending Schrodinger didn't exist. Schrodinger apparently committed suicide on September 22nd of 2003, but her death only attracted new attention on the internet in November of 2003. Only now has one small circulation newspaper in the UK ran a story of her demise. It found the story so newsworthy, it ran its headline on the front page next to the title header. The New Nation. Are you serious? Wow. What? I think it was a black woman. It was a black woman. Wow. Because the New Nation is a British newspaper. It says a black woman who claimed to have been raped by U.S. President George W. Bush was planning to take him to court has died of a gunshot wound to the head. Now, let's think about this for a minute. Let's think about this. Let's think about this for a minute. If this was the case, if this was the case, and the liberal news media didn't jump all over that, because last time I looked, wasn't they dogging George W. Bush for everything else?
Pretty much. How did he get missed?
How did that get missed? I mean,
how was it overlooked? Good question.
Wow. And the thing of it is, wow.
Well,
wow. Wow.
So many questions, but.
Yeah, because you know what? And here's the thing. That's not something. Rape is not something to be playing with. I don't care who it is. I mean, it didn't say when it occurred. I mean, the article didn't say when it occurred. That's.
It has nothing?
No, it didn't say when it, oh man. Good night. Hold on. Oh well, he gets it.
So, what do we need to address concerning this?
I don't know. Governor George Bush wasn't. Yes, it was. She said it was. She pressed charges while he was governor. Well, if it occurred when he was governor, that means he would have been vetted when he ran for the U.S. presidency. That stuff would have came out. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if
they would have went after him.
My gosh, that
because he's a Republican.
Exactly. The news media, especially after what happened in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm a research that because that's something, you know, because that's not something that anybody should have hanging over their head. That's not, oh man. Wow.
I don't know how that was overlooked as much as they went after him.
Hey, go ahead and just share a little commentary for a few minutes. I got to go do something real, like for 1 minute. Go ahead. I'll be right back, folks. Miss Mia's going to talk to you about a few things for a minute. I'll be right back. Go ahead.
Okay, listeners. Let's see. We're going to address this article right here that I have in front of me. This happened in Virginia. Country school board sued over 10 commandments. Can you believe that? They're sued over the 10 commandments. You know, we're living in some dire times. This was in Richmond, Virginia. A civil liberties group, they're suing a Southwest Virginia school board for posting the 10 commandments, and their complaint was that it violates the Constitution's guarantee of separation of church and state. You know what? The separation of church and state was thrown in there. Basically, it's not anything. Liberals push that, the separation of church and state, okay? And then basically it's a union. They're a union, and they filed the federal lawsuit on Tuesday against Giles County School Board in Roanoke. This was that's the district that it's in. And the lawsuit was narrowed down to it displays unconstitutionally promotes a specific religious faith and serves no secular purpose. First of all, Christians are always targeted. Has this been a Muslim organization pushing for something, or they wanted to remove their ham? You can't have ham sandwiches or pork chops, you know?
Right.
That would have been okay. But Christians are the only ones who are targeted for some reason. The Ten
Right.
Commandments, okay, Sharia law is not even a faith. It's not, Muslims do not even have a religion. They have a cult. You know, right. And their religion practices basically beheading people, cutting off your hands, violence.
Right.
Okay? If you're offended by the Ten Commandments, walk away. Walk away. You don't have to look at it. You don't have to read it. You know, you don't have to do none of that. And these people who are always pushing for these groups, you know, they want to remove crosses, but people can wear their burqa. Your burqa offends me. But you know what? I don't have to look at you. People need to get a grip and stop being so sensitive on religious matters when it comes to Christianity. That's
right.
Just a way for them to push more of their garbage. And it's really getting on my nerves. I was just discussing with the audience about this article.
Right.
That I just pulled up about how a Virginia school board is suing over posting the Ten Commandments.
You know, it would get really interesting if you had organizations start suing school districts for promoting homosexual agendas, for promoting other agendas in the name of tolerance and all this stuff. Okay, you want us to be tolerant of homosexual lifestyle and other faith and religions. We'll be tolerant the day you respect our beliefs and stop throwing a fit because somebody has a cross that memorializes soldiers from World War I. It's garbage.
People need to stop being so sensitive and trying to be politically correct.
I'm not politically correct. I'm just correct politically, and I always come down on the right side of the issues. That's my motto.
You know who I'm talking to. If I want to put a nativity scene in front of my house, then fine. That's what I choose to do because I pay my taxes here. I pay my property tax, I pay my mortgage. You don't have to come over and look at my. Just keep on driving. If you want to put peacocks or whatever on your yard, fine.
Exactly.
People just go too extreme, too hard on, you know, what the issues are.
Right.
And they want to remove God completely because they're offended. You know what? You're offending God. You're offending God, and you need to be quiet.
Exactly. And see, the thing of it is, when they hear Christians talk like that, you're being intolerant. No, we're not. We've not said one negative thing about you. Mm-hmm. We're talking about your point of view.
Yep.
You know, that's the thing. We're talking about the point of view. You want us to tolerate and respect your belief. And that's how, I mean, Lee and Sarge said something a long time ago that was so profound and is true. And they said this, when it comes to conservatives and with the issues, conservatives are afraid to get their hands dirty. Get their knuckles bloody, actually. But the truth of the matter is this. If they want to keep doing the things that they are doing, we might have to start getting brutal right back with them. Because it's no... We gotta step up and say, hey, you know what? Enough is enough. We're not playing your games anymore. You will not disrespect us. You will not step on our toes, and you will not take our rights. And if you try to, you will have a fight on your hands. We will sue you. We will sue you the way that you sue us. And when we win, we will ask the court to force you to pay our legal fees the way the ACLU does to bankrupt Christian organizations. See, this is how the ACLU works. They they file these frivolous lawsuits, charge thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and then if they win, then they ask the courts to force the defendant to pay the legal fees of the plaintiffs. And that's how they make money. And that's wrong. And honestly, well, I think the ACLU, as quote, supposed to be nonprofit organization, that needs to become a target too. A major target.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, here's the thing. We as believers, we underestimate just how much clout and pull that we have in our country, this country. Do you know that if every believer who truly professes Jesus Christ, if we were to withdraw all our money out of the monetary system, the financial system in this nation, we would collapse the economy of this country. Did you know
I
that?
I remember you saying that, but who's going to do that?
I wouldn't personally do it, but I'm just saying. I wouldn't do it, but I'm just saying it's something to think about.
It would be nice if everybody got on board with that, but I don't see that happening.
Right.
I just don't see that happening, unfortunately. You know? What happened? No sound?
No, I'm here. I was just giving another.
That's when that put no sound. We got somebody trying to call into the show, but they can't call into the show with their Skype.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Skype is messed up.
Wonder if we can call him.
Who is it that would like to call in, Antoinette? Tell him instead of hitting the Skype button, just actually.
He said it's working now.
Okay.
He said it's working now, so.
Okay. Well, there wasn't no sound because I wasn't saying anything at the moment.
I'm going to see what the deal is. It's a friend of mine, Gerald Harrison. That's the one for Friday. He wanted to call in the show.
Okay. Is he the discipled one?
Oh, yeah.
That's him? Okay.
Yeah, I just said, are you calling in?
Have them call in. And let me check the Blog Talk tab. I haven't seen anything yet. And you may have to do the show by yourself on Friday, Miss Mia. You think you'd be up to that?
What's going on with you?
Birthday celebration.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Okay. Mr. Discipled One, welcome to the Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed. What says you?
Just kind of wondering a little bit what the format is on the show, because I just kind of came in here very late, and I'm not sure exactly what the topic is, and was having a lot of difficult time till probably the last 30 seconds or so where I was able to actually even hear the conversation.
Oh, this is just a very, you know, open forum today. We've talked about the Wayne Perryman lawsuit filing. We've talked about Mia talked a little bit about a school in Georgia getting sued because they have the Ten Commandments up and just different things. So basically, this is a free-for-all topic. So if you have something you want to add, speak away.
What's on your mind, Gerald?
As you know, the one thing that I look at, and it's always been with me, is that we as believers do not, by and large, understand that there is a difference between a conservative worldview and a biblical one.
Go ahead. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, because you faded out there for a minute.
No problem.
Okay.
Just because a candidate, regardless of whatever party affiliation you are, talks about God or talks about Jesus or whatever, it does not necessarily mean that they have a biblical worldview.
Good point.
Okay. Matter of fact, I think you'd probably be hard-pressed to probably even find 10 people, 10 Christians, who can define politics in a single sentence.
That's a good point.
And I think I can present the solution to your audience. Politics, as I define it, would be this. It is the promotion and the defense of a worldview. It has nothing to do with conservative liberal. It has nothing to do with Democrat Republican. None of that has to do with it. Those are all party affiliations, those political bents. You can have whatever you want. The bottom line is, politics is promoted and defended based on a worldview. That being said, you only have two worldviews that you're dealing with. You either have a biblical worldview or you have a non-biblical worldview.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I'll just tell you a quick story from about a month and a half ago, about a month or so ago. When I started this show, I started it because of the fact my whole stance. I am a conservative, but, and there's a but in there. When I first started my show, I was into the politics and the thing, the conditions in the going on in the black community and stuff like that. And halfway into my show, about the third month into the fourth month, I got really mad because I heard all the bickering that was going on and you know, among conservatives, even conservative Christian politicians and all this stuff. And then it hit me. We are allowing politics to define our faith, because I've heard a lot of politicians who profess to be Christians, but they made the comment, "My faith is my own." And so I changed the name of my show from the Invisible Conservative to the Visible Conservative, Christians Unleashed. And the model now is that politics doesn't define my faith in Jesus Christ. My faith in Jesus Christ defined my politics. In essence, what you just said, taking a biblical worldview approach to politics. Because at the end of the day, Christian believers still need to be engaged in the political issues in this country if we want to see change the way it's supposed to be. So.
Well, not only should they be engaged in politics as a norm, but they should also be engaged in public policy.
Amen.
And should be able to communicate effectively what a biblical worldview really is.
Right.
The problem is that you have pastors, and I'll go out and say it, who don't want to get involved in politics, who want to go out here and stifle the people who are supposed to make the change. And
right.
If you really want to understand it, and I talked to me about this yesterday, I can say it this way: the heart of the nation can be found in its pulpits.
Right.
And the reason why you are seeing the sin of the nation run as rampant as it is because of the silence that is in our pulpits.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much for saying that, because I have been saying the same thing, and it has irritated me. Because I would hear, especially in our black churches, you hear them talking about every other thing that's going on, and I'm like, okay, when you're going to address the issue, the high abortion rate in our community, when you're going to address the high numbers of people being murdered, the high numbers of unemployment, dropout rates, the high numbers of homosexuality that's growing in our community. And I mean, just stuff like that. And you hit the nail on the head.
If you like what I'm saying, then you probably would really like my blog at www.watchmanscorner.com.
Right.
I already sent it to him.
Yep.
You already sent it to him.
Yep, I checked it out.
And what do you think of it, sir?
I like it. You know what you're talking about. But here's the thing. Miss Mia is going to be interviewing you on Friday, because Friday's I'm celebrating my birthday Friday, so she'll be taking the show Friday, and I'll probably listen to it in archives, and you guys will have the whole however much time you want. We schedule the show from 5:30 to 7, so an hour and 30 minutes. If you want the whole time or just 30 minutes, you know, you just let Mia know, and you know.
Not a problem, sir. Happy early birthday if I don't hear from you.
Oh, you'll hear from me again, because I love what you have to say. I don't know if are you a minister of the gospel, or you just
No, I'm not a pastor, but yeah, I am a believer.
Yeah, because what you said, the way you put that, that's a good way. I'm just excited just how you put that, because even challenges me to go back and make sure I examine and I know my biblical worldview on things. And by the grace of God, I'm thankful that I do look at it from a biblical perspective, because I'll tell you this, and then we got in the show, but I didn't vote for Barack Obama because of the very fact that the very policies that he advocated go against the word of God. That's why I didn't vote for him.
And you're absolutely correct. And I would say this to the rest of your listening audience: as much as those in the church community, particularly in the black church community, would bring up Matthew 7:1 of Jesus saying, "Judge not, lest you be judged."
Right.
They would need to go ahead and look at that same Bible and go down 19 more verses, where Jesus said in Matthew 7:20, "By their fruit you shall know them." The fruit of a politician is in their voting record.
Right.
So if you looked at Barack Obama's voting record,
hold on just a second. Hey everybody, listen to the rest of the show, the ending of the show in archives, because we'll talk a little bit off the air. So go ahead, finish your statement.
Not a problem. What I was saying was that in Matthew chapter 7:20, Jesus himself says, By their fruit you shall know them. And the fruit of a politician is in their voting record. So if those who believe that Barack Obama was the right choice for the office of the President of the United States, I would then challenge them to look at Mr. Obama's voting record and see, does his voting record line up with the Word of God?
Right.
And you will find very interesting enough, even as he was a Illinois state senator, he voted for more than one time, I wanted to add, something called the Born Alive Act, where you can be the mother of a botched abortion. The child will come out of your womb alive, and the doctor by law would have to sit back and watch the child die.
Right.
And he voted on that. He voted in the affirmative. He voted yes on that on more than one occasion.
Hey, Gerald, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
If we did like a two-part series, because Mia would like for me to be at the show with her on Friday. If we did like a short abbreviated show, like maybe from 5 to 5:45, do a two-part. Would that work for you on Friday?
Yeah, if we start at what, 5:45 your time?
No, it'd be 45 minutes, but we'd actually start at 5 Central time.
Okay. I don't see an issue at this point, so yeah, that would work for me.
Okay. And then we'll just do a two-part series. Actually, we could come back and do the second part on Saturday if you wanted to.
Okay, that'll be fine too. I mean, I don't have an issue with that at the moment.
Okay. All righty, sir. Well, it was phenomenal to – it was a blessing and awesome to hear what you had to say, because you are so much – you're very on point. So I'm going to let you – I'm going to let you get back to your busyness. And – When you have another blog coming out, blog story.
Actually, let's see. The latest one I had was actually a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I dealt with the Gibson Guitar Company and the unconstitutional raid that the Obama administration, the Department of Justice, came upon Gibson for taking their raw wood material. For the fact that they were a violation of Indian law, because Indian law says that you cannot export unfinished products, or can't export products that are not finished by Indian people.
What?
Yeah. Well, that's Indian law. That's their thing. They're saying that if you're going to go ahead and import, Or if you're going to export wood from India, the wood has to be finished by Indian nationals. Okay, that's their law. Whatever, who cares? But here's the deal.
I want you to talk about that. Oh wow!
But here's the deal. The deal is the Indian government signed off on the wood that it was unfinished. Our U.S. Customs signed off on the wood importing it, knowing that it was unfinished, and they got raided because the wood was unfinished. It was unfinished fingerboards for guitars. So they finished the process here in America. So they started off in India, left it unfinished, shipped it off to America. We Americans finished it off. The DOJ went and raided the place, and this is not the first time they raided.
Wow.
They raided it in 2009 for the same reason, but back then it was wood from Madagascar.
Whoa.
But the interesting thing about this is, number one, Gibson is non-union.
Right.
Number two, Gibson backs Republican or conservative candidates. Number three, their main competitor is a union shop. And number four, their main competitor supports Democrat candidates. Their main competitor did not get raided and uses the same wood from India.
So you know what we need to do, and see, I'm going to make sure that this is going to become my life's goal. We're going to We're going to expose that. We're going to expose that big time. And I mean that because that makes me angry. God forgive me. I hate unions. I hate unions.
There was a time in American history where unions are needed.
Yeah.
Okay. That time has come and passed. It's gone.
Right.
Okay. There are laws on the books now that used to do what the unions, what the unions were designed to do.
Right.
Those laws have already been passed. They're already on the books. Okay.
Right.
But now you still have this union apparatus that is still in, that is still hanging around, which if you understand unions by design, they are really nothing more than socialism on a microscopic level.
Right, exactly.
That's what they are. So if you want to see what socialism looks like in its function, look at a union.
Right.
But
you
I think more than that, I think you'd be interested in some of the I did a 3-part series last year on my in my blog. It's called it was back in April of 2010. The title of it was called "For Such a Time as This." I think you would find it a very interesting read.
Right. Well, I'm looking forward to reading all your blogs and probably, hopefully, if you be up to it, be having a regular feature, like where you do, if you'd like to, we could do a regular feature where you do a commentary, maybe one day a week on one of your blogs, if you'd like.
Well, we can go. Let me go ahead and think about that one for a little bit. I mean, I'm honored. I'm very honored that you think of my writing so highly. But let me go ahead and think about that one. I'm definitely in on the interview for Friday. No question about that. But let me go ahead and think about doing some type of a commentary, even though it is like I said, it is very interesting. But I want to go ahead and think about it a little bit more.
Right. Okay. All right, Gerald, God bless you. Thank you for being a man of God, a man who not only talks the talk but walks the walk, and I look forward to hearing your interview on Friday.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I do appreciate the time.
Not a problem. God bless
you. You have a good day now.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Well, folks, you have been listening to the Visible Conservative, and we had a good show, but you have a good night, and we will be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Central Time, interview with the Pastor C.L. Bryant. So stay tuned, tune in, and looking forward. Talk to you later. God bless.